week has been, or prayer few days has been amazing. And as Karen's already said, there's been times where there hasn't been a lot of activity from a natural point of view. We haven't necessarily been praying out loud and we haven't been doing those things. And as someone with ADHD, I struggle to be able to sit still in the presence of the Lord. So it's been a really good disciplining thing for me to sit and be still and hear His voice no matter what. I haven't got time this morning to go into everything, but I can. What also encourages me is that the things that God has been speaking to myself and Karen and other people who have been here in the room are being affirmed by what's happening in other communities. As I went to Bendigo, I sat with Todd, the pastor of the church where Aaron's going to be, and he begins sharing some things, and I'm like, well, that's my heartbeat. That's what I sense God's doing on the earth. He's inviting us into this space. Yesterday afternoon, we get invited to go and meet with a pastor from Hillview Church, and just they took over just before COVID and those things, and we just sat and we chatted and we shared our heart together. Same thing. God's doing something on the earth, and there is something that is stirring. There was a prophetic word released from at Stairway last Sunday, and it is spot on. It may as well have been here. And that's from an American guy, David Wagner, who came to Australia and declared it. So he's not even from our culture and he's declaring these things. There is just something happening, and there is an invitation for us as God's people to be listening, to be seeking Him first. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, it says, so don't worry about these things. What is he talking about? Well, previous to there, he's just taught people the Lord's Prayer, and his next part is the teaching people about money and possessions and what to do with it. And he says, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about any of those things. Won't I clothe you? Won't I supply your needs? Aren't I Jehovah Jireh? If that is my name, I'm going to do it. I can't betray myself. So he says, don't worry about these things, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father knows all your needs. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else, and then live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Don't know about you, but worries have been a bit of a sport for me. I inherited it. My mum was a world champion worrier. Love your mum. But she was. Something that was passed down, and something that is changing in my life. I wouldn't say I've fully arrived. But God says, seek first and all these things will be added. Seek me, I will do this. Seek me and the best outcome will happen. In the natural, Shell and I are missing our boy. But I know after being up in Bendigo that he's in exactly the right space. It's going to stretch him and grow him and mould him and build character in him that is going to produce amazing fruit. And I've got to trust him. Because it's not just one flight to South Africa and one flight back. He has got 13 flights from the 5th of March through to the 28th of March, I think it is. That's a lot of flights and probably little planes in Nigeria and other places. In the natural, we can get upset, can get anxious, we can get that. Or we can go, well, God's going before him. He's going to provide. And it's the same for each one of us. I don't know everybody's story, but everyone's got something. Every one of you are carrying something that causes concerns and worries and those things. And God says, will you give them to me? Will you seek me for my answers into that space? Got an issue at work? Seek me. I'm going to give you an answer. It may not look like the normal business answer that you may learn in business college or that you've experienced in the past. Because my experience is God will quite often give us an answer to test whether we're going to trust him. Think about it. Jesus walked along the shore of Galilee, ran into the guys that he wanted to be in his team, and he just looked at them and went, will you follow me? And kept walking. I don't know what it was about Jesus that would say, yeah, I'll give up my income, I'll give up my boat, I'll give up me everything that I've got to follow Jesus. We don't know enough about the story to know whether there was any interaction previous to this. We don't know. But all we know is he walked along the shore of Galilee and went, hey, will you come follow me? They didn't know what it was going to be like. They didn't know that they were going to be the ones that would actually birth a worldwide movement that means that we're still here today. They just said, okay, we'll follow. And when I know, one of the things that I struggle as a leader is that, and even right now, is that, well, where's God taking us? It's a new thing. I don't know. I would imagine for some of you this morning, that quiet space where we were just worshiping and there was just this quiet space, for some of you that would have been really uncomfortable. Some of you probably went, oh, this is awesome. I love it. But it's because we're all on different journeys with our relationship with Jesus. But are we willing to make space in the busyness of our life for God to speak to my heart? Seek him. It says in Scripture, seek him while he will be found. God's not hiding to jump out of the bushes and surprise us. He's saying, seek me with all of your heart. How do we do it? Well, Hebrews chapter 4. Starting at verse 12. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our inner thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Does that sound a little bit freaky? What do you mean? I do a really good job trying to hide my stuff. I try and pretend that I've got everything right. I don't want people to see my stuff. And sometimes our religiousness means we don't allow God to see our stuff. He knows it. We're kidding ourselves if we're coming to him and we're not. God, I am struggling. Whatever it is. It might be, I'm struggling with that pastor you've given us at church. Don't worry, I struggle with him sometimes too. But it says, everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. If we stayed there, it might feel a little bit, ugh. But remember, the one who knows you best, this is a Jonathan Lister Helser line out of their song, I'm Your Beloved. The one who knows you best is the one who loves you most. The all-powerful, all-knowing, all-omnipotent, powerful God that spoke our universe into existence, that breathed life into humanity, that when people come into his presence, it trembles. When the angels worshipped, holy, 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 the throne room trembles at his presence. Says this, so then, since we have a high priest that has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. I love this. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he has faced all the same temptations that we have. He's not saying, so what's that word all mean? Is it some things? Oh, God hasn't experienced the temptation to use money badly. Yeah, he did. Just look at what happened when he was tempted in the wilderness. He was tempted to use his power for his own gain. He was tempted in every way, but chose not to sin because he was sent to earth as an example of how we should live. Have you ever struggled with a verse where it says, be holy as I am holy? Is that something that Jesus sort of went, I'll just throw that in as a bit of a, I'll just go fishing and see if I catch anyone and with any thoughts? No, he has said it because because of the work of the cross, we are righteous. We are no longer sinners. Will we make mistakes and will we sin? Yes, but that's where grace comes in and that's where the sanctification comes in. But it says we are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. Old man, dead to sin. New man, spirit alive. Identified, secure in him. Not because of me, because of him. Old man is dead. Anytime I pick up old man, it's called necromancy. Go look it up. It's gross. It's carrying a dead man on your back. And I'll leave it there because, yeah, it's not nice. Every time we pick up the old nature's gone. We can't put Jesus back on a cross. If I sin today, I'm not putting Jesus back up there. He's already paid the price. He's paid it. It's finished. It's done. And then the rest of this passage, and this is the part that I love. How do we seek him? Seek his kingdom? Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace, and we will find help when we need it most. When the veil was torn, two things happened. We had access to God, but God got out of there to get to us. And he's getting out of where he was in the Holy of Holies to get out and become God in me, God in you. The hope of glory. If it doesn't bring you to some sort of somber realization, and you just are in awe that the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead is inside of every single one of us. That is extraordinary. And one of my big prayers this week as I've sought the kingdom is that I want to see people through God's eyes. I don't want to see people through the eyes of things there. I know what happens when I look in the mirror sometimes and look at myself. And I'm going to land here and we're going to take communion. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because the journey of seeking the kingdom is not just a personal thing. It's not just me and God, although that's important. It's me and God, and then he places this in family, as Karen's already mentioned, and learning how to live out at the revelations that God is, because God's going to reveal things to you that are going to bless me and hopefully vice versa, and together we will actually have a great picture of who God is. I was going to go down a whole heap of scriptures about God putting the lonely in family and the safety in the multitude of counselors. The reality is, God says, confess your sins one to another and they will be healed. We're not meant to just sit in there and those things. We're actually meant to be authentic and real and vulnerable. We're meant to take off our outer clothing and just, here I am. And if we can love each other in that space, that's where God wants to get us to. Still learning, still growing. And hopefully I'm closer to that this time next year than what I am today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. So we stop evaluating others from a human point of view. As I reflect on, they go, why? Because that's when we are looking at each other through our human eyes. It's when our human judgments come up. It's where offense comes up. It's where all of these things. Because let's be face it, as humans, we don't like to be wrong. And so we'll fight for our right, even if our right is wrong. All of us. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely as from a human point of view. Jesus was just some historical figure. Paul was writing that because Christ had gone to be in glory. And he was one of them. He knew he was real. I think Paul, pre-conversion, he was going around trying to kill off this new movement called the Way. Literally. But how differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Thank you, Jesus. And all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling his people to him. See, if we are all created in God's image, that means we're all sons and daughters, just some don't know their dad yet. I was having this conversation with Shell during, last week, I think it was, and she goes, I would be happy if Jesus came back. And I said, yeah, me too. Except he hasn't got enough of his kids back yet. He hasn't got enough of his kids coming. And he wants his kids to be in glory. He doesn't want them to be damned to a place that he created for Satan and his demons. He wants his kids back. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak to Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who had never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. The NIV says that we become the righteousness of God. God wants us to seek him above all things. Seek first. He wants you to be so confident in your relationship with him that you can approach the throne of grace boldly. With no fear or intrepidation, you can stand before your loving Father and you can come into his presence, both individually and corporately. That's why I unashamedly will want to, one of our major focuses this year is to host the presence of God. Because without it, we're a social club. And thirdly, as he speaks to us and we get a revelation of who we are in Christ. That I am clothed in righteousness. That the old is gone and the new is come, and we stand with a new identity. I am no longer a citizen of this earth, I'm a citizen of heaven. That's where it's meant to come through. Earth to heaven, not heaven. Sorry, heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. God's okay with our shopping list and presenting our requests before him and those things. But if all we do is that, we're just wanting an earthly response, want God to come and be our mystic genie to fix our problems. What we're meant to do is go and spend time with the Father, hear his voice into our situations, and then bring his truth and life through it. It's meant to be a heaven to earth, not an earth to heaven prayer. Relationship with God. And I'm learning what that is. And the only way we can do it, the only way we get to experience his presence, the only way, there is only one way, it is through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And that is why we're going to spend this, finish our service taking communion. I'm going to invite Deb to come. Because the reason we can call ourselves righteous in God's sight is because of this. The reason we can approach the throne of grace boldly is because of this.